Hello, welcome into episode 151 of Katie's Craft Collective. Did you wiggle? I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with Goaty McGoat Face. I want to crack the uncal. The retreat. Sorry, I'd lost my place. a me section, quite a reasonably sized me section. The shoppy section. Oh, I think that'll be it. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/kathnesscraft. All purchases help towards the running of this podcast, and the more you put in, the more you get out. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack was in Caithness this week. Oh. Forgot I've got them. I'm on my phone because I can't be bothered editing, but I'm hopefully going to make this okay, but I'm reading it out, so it's not totally made up. The blether. Goaty McGoat Face. Okay, right, you're going to have to go with me on this one. Health and safety warning. Don't be drinking tea, you can spit out, and prepare to giggle at will. But although now I've told you you're going to laugh, you probably won't. However, a week past Tuesday, I'm running later than normal going to WIC, and I happened to hear the morning radio programme on BBC Scotland, Radio Scotland, called Call K. And Louise White was on it this time, and she interviewed a man called Tom Thwaites. Some of you are going, oh, him. And he decided, as a project, he was going to live as a goat for a while. So, yeah, I know. Okay, right, go with it. So I'm sitting at my retreat on Friday night, and at this point in time, they've had wine and a dram or two, and I turns to Nick and Angela, and I say, did you hear that interview? Or heard about him? And this is how the conversation went. He did what? I said, he wanted to live as a goat for a year. A goat? But why? I have no idea. We then loaded the interview and this is what he said. He wanted to escape being a human, and when she asked him why, firstly he said, because a shaman told me. He wanted to, so shaman told him. So Nick and Angela and Richard spat wine everywhere. So Tom, he's a bit of a free thinker and obviously artistic and clever man. But let's just say he's a bit out there. I also have to congratulate the presenter, Louise White, for not bursting out laughing or being incredibly sarcastic, because she had every chance to be. And I then told them that he was awarded £27,000 from the Wellcome Trust to go and live like a goat. £27,000. And he goes, oh, it was for a year. There was screeching and indignation, and I have to say, I agree. Tom, the wannabe goat, decided to escape being human and all its responsibilities and wanted to be an elephant, but then decided to be a bit more sensible and be a goat. So he trip traps over to the people who build prosthetic limbs to make him some for his arms, so he could trip trap across the meadows with the goats and gamble along, as you do. The prosthetic limb makers tell him that he's going to be in pain, and turns out he was in immense pain. I can feel the sympathy coming back from your earbuds and speakers. So with a cycling helmet that they wear on the Tour de France, off he went to an unsuspecting goat herder in Switzerland. High on the hill was a lonely goat herd, lonely, lonely, hee-hoo. Granted, the goat herder knew what he was going to do. He didn't just trip over that bridge, and the goat herder thought, the main billy goat's been rather busy this winter. I've got another goat that looks nothing at all like a human wearing a prosthetic limbs and crash helmet. So then Nick asks, what did he eat? This was a great question, considering goats have been known to eat all sorts of things, including tin cans. So I told him. He said he ate grass. And by this time the hilarity had drawn Claire and Ella and Faye from the other side of the table, so we had to start again. Ella, quick as a flash, wondered if it was a tall tale for John of Goats. No, I insisted. Listen to the start of the interview. So, I played the shaman. Told me. And we started again. So then, of course, we had a bit of a rave, of course. He's a good, he's good, he's Ebenezer good. Sorry, I'm going back to the 90s there. Angela said, but grass, how could he? I said, well, he said he went along to the goat, another grass-eating part of university. I forget where, and he used a scientific word to describe the class, such as bovida, or I don't know, something technical in science, I can't remember. Would be a good question in the pub quiz that we had. But it doesn't really matter for the story. The ones that answered his letters, Angela. And they asked him the same question. Grass. But how could he? So Tom the goat man wannabe said he was going to chew the grass the same as the other goats in the herd, and then he was going to spit it into his wee second stomach, which is a wee box, and he would add a kind of yogurt bacteria that would make him safe for him to digest, and he would drink and eat this grass yogurt. But no, 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 said the good people of the university placey. They will give you bad juju and a very, very sore tummy. If not, kill you. Maybe been a bit dramatic there. So Nick went, aw, but what did he eat then? Tins? And I answered, no, he pressure cooked it. At this point, there was falling off chairs and tears streaming down faces as they imagined poor wee billy goat Tom fiddling with the pressure cooker with his goaty hooves. At the same time, I was thinking, but he would have taken them off. Not in this. So nobody was laughing at Tom's dream of escaping the human race. I mean, who else would happily shut off the responsibilities of remembering to pay car insurance? Having enough money to buy a car in the first place, when to plant the carrots, go out and work in a job but nobody thanks you, nobody's nice to you, the pay's rubbish, and you still have to go pick up bairns, drop them off three different clubs that night whilst making sure they have a meal inside them, have done their homework in time, not to mention the fixing of the roof tiles. Oh, that's not my life, but yep, insert life avoidance stories here. We did laugh with a lot of indignation that Tom was awarded £27,000 to do this. No wonder Tom was happy. So then Julia looked it up and it turns out that he actually only lived as a goat for 3 days. She found 6 days, but I've found three, which is even less. That's £9,000 a day. Listeners, I think we're all in the wrong job. This led to a thread being started with, what's your goat name? So we have Ella Bella, Flossie Tiggy Winkle, quite like that one, Clara Cluck, Marilyn Montago, I can't remember how you say that, and Richard was going to be Billy, as in Billy Goat Gruff, and I am, of course, Goaty McGoatface. And that was all at John of Goats. And it's not a tall tale. I mean, obviously goats give us lovely cashmere and angora. I just wonder what kind of fur Tom would have given us. I don't think we'll go there. So listeners, what's your goat name? And what would you escape the human race to be? I mean, I see his point. He's a clever bloke. His excerpts on his book on Amazon seem very funny. But, well, you know, he was a goat. I think I'd rather be an otter, which I saw today. So if you need a pee stop and go, it's not time for the Sandy and Dizzy Gaggle because I'm not editing this on the computer. However, we can have a bit of division. Plus then it means I can scroll down on the mouse so I can go down a bit. Hello section. Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I very much appreciate you taking the time to tune in, listen whilst you're doing the dishes or knitting or crafting or digging gardens or hopefully doing something menial like I have to, or driving to that job you don't like. But thank you for taking your broadband capacity and making me part of it. I might actually write that in, I quite like that. A Sandy hello to new group members Ski Bum, who is Anita from Wyoming. And random hellos are to Gold Threads, I need to reply to you, Lazy Loop, Slinky, Ivy Fox, and Yarn Salad. What's crack? Firstly, the most recent news from the Steamy, well, that's actually last episode's, is, well, we're going to carry on, though. The great Carrie Westerman is publishing a book called This Thing of Paper. and her Kickstarter has opened. And she has, well, surpassed the amount she was looking for by quite a bit. But do keep going in and helping her. I've put in my order because I've kicked her. I want the book when it comes. And I'm happy to help Kari achieve dream of the first book. No pressure, Kari, because that means I want another one or two or three afterwards. So if you would like to kickstart Kari, go to our blog called 4th Edition and find the Kickstarter button from there. I actually didn't double check that it's still called 4th Edition. Pretty sure it's Kari Westermount all over the internet. So I'll put the right link in the show notes, I promise. Any of you fancy going to the Twin States Summer Camp this year? I think you've got until Monday, the 6th of June, to register. And they still have a couple of places left. The details of the camps are from the morning of the 7th of July until after brunch on the 10th of July. Ramblewood Resort Campground near the Maryland-Pennsylvania border in Darlington, Maryland, which is about an hour and a half from Philadelphia and an hour from Baltimore. It's $335 for all meals, camp activities, a great bed, good food, great food accommodations for those who need it, a goodie bag, 1 to 2 organised classes, but mostly knitting, fibre arts with people out on natural setting, and me, because I'm going. So if you're in and around the Darlington area and you were kind of thinking, Twin States Summer Camp, and then you fancy sitting beside me, well, you'll be sitting around the pool when I'm doing lengths and training for triathlons, then do go to the Twin State Designs Ravelry group and sign up for them there. I know some of you are really, really tempted by this, and I'm hoping that some of you can actually work it out. I'd like to put a shout out to my Washington DC listeners who maybe aren't going to the retreat but would like to meet up at some point and either show us the sights or just grab a cup of coffee. So right now the schedule's to fly into Washington DC and land about 7 o'clock on the Tuesday the 5th of July, and we're going to get a taxi into town. Then on the Wednesday or the Thursday, take the train up to Aberdeen, which I think is hilarious. I bet it's not half as cold as Scottish Aberdeen. And then I'm retreating Thursday to Sunday with Jan and Ellen, or the boss of me then. Haha, poor Jan. She thought she got rid of that. Then we head back to Washington, probably on the train, on the Monday through Wednesday, and our sightseeing that your great capital has to offer. And then flying out Wednesday tea time to Iceland. Now Richard wants to get a hot dog, the Bairns want everything, and I want your company. I might have said that. Oh no, I haven't. The lovely Nora so far has put in some ideas, and I'd love to be shown around by locals, the more the merrier. So please contact me directly for this. Quite happily for you to be the boss of me for a couple of days. In Iceland, we booked our hotel for the trip back, and we've been doing a bit of research on where to go, what to see. And whale watching is high on my agenda, and he wants to do mountain biking. So there's the museums and the foods and the woolly stuff. So that's that. Now, other things in what's crack. Kate Davis has been busy and drip feeding us her new book, The Book of Haps, and it seems to be working. The marketing seems to be working, because I was looking at the photos of it the day before the retreat, and then we're all discussing it at the retreat. So well done, Jane and Kate, for the marketing whiz that you had going on there. So I'm going to read from the book on the internet. It's $19.99, obviously there'll be postage and packaging, and you've got contributors are Jane Arnwell Cullifield. I'll try that again. Jane Arnold Culliford, sorry Jane, Martina Bam, Rosalind Chapman, Kate Davis, Cara Feller, Lucy Haig, Romy Hill, Bristol Ivy, Gudrun Johnston, Helene Magason, Donna Smith, Hazel Tyndall, Tom Van de Junen, Tom of Holland, and Vera Valamaki. Wow. So, she's got lots of hat books, and also they've got textile history, contemporary design, and then the book explores the story of the hat through 5 beautifully illustrated essays and 13 stunning patterns. For $19.99, I think you're going to be getting quite a good deal on that. Even if you never knit any or all of the patterns, I think this is going to be a good addition to your pattern library. And I was looking at them, and I think I'd definitely knit 4 of them. I can't remember exactly who did what now, because they don't have their names on the buttons that I'm pressing. You can hear me clicking. But I'd definitely wear them. Probably use brighter colours, because she's gone for the natural colours of the sheep. But you can have the natural colours of the sheep brighter. So that is the Book of Hats, which I think I'm going to buy. Quite happy about that. And moving on. The Uncal. Well, it's the 1st of June. Well, it was when I actually wrote this. Happy birthday. Not happy birthday. I wish I could edit this part. Happy anniversary for yesterday, Richard. And it was the end of the Uncal. You may now pick up on the other knit-alongs going on. I started drawing the prizes today, but I realised that the first and second division, you need a little extra time to post that you haven't touched it or you've finished it. And for the third division, the frog pictures, there's a few of you that have posted photographs of what you were going to frog, but not followed up with the finished balls of yarn all frogged. And that's what the rules said, so I'm afraid I'm actually going to be a little bit sticky on that, because I did pick somebody and then realised that she hadn't followed it up with the I actually frogged it, and here's the pictures of the wee bodies. So please, if you could attend to these photos by Monday 6th of June, then I can draw the prizes. And they include a project bag from me. It's going to be a black watch tartan one. A pattern of the winner's choice on Ravelry up to the cost of £10 from me. And also there is the Wheel Tribe pattern book from the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. And then we've got a Boston Jane pattern, a Paula Emmons Feasley pattern, and there's 3 of them. There's a crochet or a sock needle roll from Erica Eccles. And finally, a mini Nostipine made by Dale's Fair Hand from Fair Winds Farm. And they're lovely, really, really beautifully made. So I suggest that you definitely attend to those photographs, because otherwise you're not going to win. And you could have done just for one peedy little picture. Whap-a-thin. So the 3 divisions we have, the Leave It. And this one is the one where you've not touched your whip that you've kind of not fallen out of love with, but you've just not attended to for the past 3 months. And now you're going to fall back in love with it because you've been sitting looking at it or thinking about it. And if you finish it by the 1st of September with pictures to prove it, then you will be entered in for yet more prizes. There is just so much luscious bounty, I should be a pirate. The Supercorn division is the Unicorn. And if you have anything that you have finished but not yet taken a picture and put on, I suggest you do. You were supposed to finish that by the 1st of June. And then you can get on with the other cool cals, because I know your fingers are itching. There's quite a few that are going on there. Louise Tilbrook for a start. And then Division 3, the frogging one, and I did say about that. So I will draw the prizes on Monday, the 6th of June. You have until Monday, the 6th of June, and the exits are here, here, and here. Don't push me out then, okay? Retreat. There's a quick business part first. There is one goodie bag left for you to buy after the retreat, as I had last year in the Etsy shop. I had organised one extra, I had actually organised 2, but and I neglected to think that Debbie was going to tip up, which she did, and it was really good to have a company, so I gave her one of the bags that I was going to sell on, and she supplied a lot of baking. So I'm actually still in charge of the tins, they need to go back to them tomorrow. So I have one goodie bag for you in the shop, and it's for those who wish you could make it but couldn't. And it includes, not you Mel, because you're getting yours posted, or Sue. It includes a blue cotton tote bag with the Caithness Craft logo embroidered on it, and this was machine embroidered by my neighbour, because she does that as a business. I also have in it, there is a Caithness tartan backed circular and short needle or crochet hook tidy rope. It was aimed at the circulars for two reasons, because I didn't want to make project bags again this year because some of the last year's attendees were coming back and they already had one, and also I wanted to make a circular needle tidy for myself, and I'm really quite chuffed at how it came out. Then there is also a thistle embossed bookmark in there too, and this is exclusive and there is only one left, so you better get into the Etsy shop pretty quickly. And I have to say, I have a bit of a retreat hangover. I had Monday off to myself. Granted, I sorted out the bairns and stuff, but I just did a little bit of tidying up and didn't go on the internet very much. And the retreat itself, it went really, really well. And whilst I had a couple of people unable to make it due to illness and an unexpected house move, we had three more people than last year. We were really fortunate with the weather until the Sunday afternoon when fog rolled in Shotwick Airport, which was not handy for those flying south. They did get home, but not as convenient as the flight. But the rest of the time, we had Caithness in all her glory. The sky was blue, the sea sparkled, and then we were having the mandatory photograph at John O'Groats' sign. We saw dolphins swimming beyond the pier, so it made up for no puffins again. I've never seen dolphins in Caithness, so this was extra special to me. Today, I saw an otter at my harbour. Now, I have seen one before, but that was when I was up at the house, and I wasn't 100% sure if it was a cat or an otter, because it was a bit too far away, and they move quite fast because they're ottery legs. But I got a couple of pictures, and absolutely delighted with myself. So, it's like Caithness spring watch all over. Back to the retreat. So we were really delighted with the conference room chalet because it gave us a central area to sit and eat and congregate. And Mel, I've asked if they can put in a comfortable couch next year. So we decided it was well worth the money, and I completely agree with that. The attendees arrived on Thursday afternoon and we had our lasagna supplied by the wonderful Ella, who went above and beyond being the retreat guest of wonderfulness. Not only did she cater for meat eaters, she catered for a turkey lasagna, a beef lasagna, a vegetable lasagna, and a dairy-free lasagna. She must have been making lasagnas for weeks. So that night, I gave out the goodie bags, and they seemed very pleased with them. There was the odd extra part in there, but A, there's none left, and B, they're not mine to sell on. So I would like to say a very public thank you to the sponsors of the goodie bag with the extra prizes. To Twins at Ellen, thank you for the coming and going baby hat and sweater set. It is so cute. To Gardening Witch for the place markers, thank you. I tried to match everyone to their marker. To Erica Eccles Lisa for the beautiful hand-sewn items. To Maddie for sending up via Brit Yarns a hank of blacker tamer yarn. To Brit Yarns Isla for the Ethel badges and the discount on the shop. To Louise Scully for her lovely postcards. And to Faye for the very special printed handmade by us labels. She'd asked for everyone's names beforehand and then had them with their names on. And my mum was fair tickled because she never gets anything with Zelia printed on anything. And to Nick for a mini skein each from Yarns from the Plain. So the hardest thing for that was picking out the colour for everyone and for me. And finally to the amazing Marta Pauline. She has designed us a slouchy berry called the John O'Groats Slouchy Berry Hat, and it's designed after the eight-sided hotel. Mum's finished her hat, and I'm not too far off mine, but I seem to be making the same mistake in the same line just now. I don't understand how. But Marta, when I do finish it, I'll take a really lovely photo beside the hotel with it. What a goodie bag they had. So thank you so much to you sponsors. I hope you get a bit of return business on that, and the retreat attendees certainly get in touch and say thank you. We then had our icebreaker, and the game of if didn't really go down all that well. We just looked at, couldn't think of. But once I found the dice, I knew I had it, I just couldn't find it. We unleashed the prize ball. This was just hilariously funny to me. People get really frantic when there's a rolling dice involved. This one I'd recommend for Unbreakables because there's a prize in the middle, and for this I used Erica Eagle's hot water bottle cover, which is all hand stitched with a wee birdie on it. It was beautiful. So then I wrapped it with bubble wrap and clear parcel taped it quite a bit. And then I add prizes and bubble wrap and tape and prizes and bubble wrap and tape until all the prizes are in there, including sweeties. And then you add a bit more tape just to be on the safe side. So I got someone to start unwrapping it, and the person to her right try and get a double anything. And if the person gets a double, or gets a prize out, or three, that's their good luck as they're ripping it open. It is quite difficult. And when the person to the right gets a double, then they get the parcel to start unwrapping and hands the dice to their right. And it keeps going. And it can be quite frantic past the parcel. It was hilarious fun. Now, on the Friday morning, I took the lino printing workshop. This took loads of preparation on my part, which was fine. I wish I'd done it 2 weeks before, though. I had, on the Monday, cut a couple of lino stamps out in preparation, but then it was pointed out quite rightly, and I'm so glad that she did notice, when you're printing with words, you need to cut them out back to front, so then they print the right ways on. Now I know this, but in my stressy head last week, I kind of forgot. So I cut another one, and I used the wrong one as, don't cut it this way or it won't work, study. But in the end, because it said Johnna Groats on it, what my mum did was she took the bag, turned it on itself and put it on the back. So it looked like it was back, the back, front. It made sense in my head. It was really quite cool. So I was absolutely delighted with everybody's results. I really like it when you put a crowd of artistic people in a room and let them free and see what results they come up with. We had everything from flowers, geometric, horseshoes, and then the different colours of the printing ink. We all ended up with a card and a wee drawstring bag and various bits of paper and material. I printed an extra one for the prize for the next day in the raffle, and then a couple more for the goodie bags that I've got to send to Mel and Sue. I just realised Mel and Sue. I should say Sue and Mel. One's Y Sue and the other one's with Mel. So then in the afternoon we had two mini workshops as poor Sue, who was going to run the Learn to Crochet workshop, was ill and couldn't make it. So bless her soul, she sent up a box of the workshop material, and Faye and Nick, who are good at crochet teachers, sat with the group and took them through it a bit beyond. And a bit beyond. So they went one step beyond. I was up the other end of the table with a little goop and had the needle felting going on. So we had a wee small sponge, a bit of wadding from the inside of a quilt, not ripped out from a quilt, it was just leftover bits from like we cut off the side of it. And needle felting needles, which as you might remember me saying that they are evil. So I had plasters, and I'm pleased to report that there was only one stabbing, no plaster was needed, so watch your fingers, people. Oh, and when we're doing the lino cutting, I had said health and safety notice, be careful because these are sharp, and then proceeded to stab myself with blood. So it's okay if it's me, you know. It may hurt for a few days, but it's all fine now. So that night, Richard came out with a Chinese and Indian takeaway, and the bairns were there, and they played chase with super fun Granny Janet. She was ace fun. And they were also gifted by the exceptional Ella Bella a folder of pencils and books on how to draw and what to draw. So I've actually had fun with this yesterday, and I was drawing a penguin and a bear and a goat. Just making my anniversary card. They didn't want to go home with Mum, the bairns. So we then had show and tell early. Actually, Mum didn't want to go home. We chucked them out because then Richard and I were having the drams with the Wolfburn. And we didn't record this because it would have been just too much laughing, and we had just done Wolfburn last episode. Richard took a really nice photo of me doing this, and I've changed my Instagram profile picture too. Look at me laughing. We had enormous fun with this, and then I asked the goat question that went rapidly downhill and funnier from then on in. Natural Retreats has great Wi-Fi, so we followed Goat Man online. And we were treated to a beautiful sunset over the island of Stroma, along with a Caribbean Princess cruise liner going past. It was just a very scenic end to a great day. The next day, we're not finished yet, listeners, we had the vendor fair in the morning. Nick from Yarns from the Plain fame was there with her 13-foot-long shop of colour. And I had my friend from Swallow Glass shawl pins to sell, and my shop of tartan bags, and Faye had her stash of goodies, and Tanya had her Dorset buttons. So I bought some gradient yarn from Nick, which is a green, blue and yellow colour. I actually like the idea of gradients, having heard about a lot about them, and I've always wanted Louise and George from the Yarn Garden to make me a, or anyone, I don't really mind, but that's who I was in discussion with, George, you've not done it yet, make me a swallow colour yarn gradient, because I want to knit the swallowtail shawl in swallow colours. I don't want much, do I? I also bought a mini skein and 2 skeins of sock yarn for my textile artist friends. I bought some stitch markers from Tanya, who has the wonderful TJ Frog Dorset button site. She had a couple of beautiful shawls on by Stephen West, and then she used a matching Dorset button from the leftover yarn as a shawl pin, which is awesome. I then drooled over Faye's table, and she has her knitted hookit goodies. She has these really cool pennies that you tie around your waist and have 2 pockets into them. And one she has her knitting and the other has the yarn. So anywhere Faye was, she was knitting. Her table was as British or EU made as she could possibly get, and she takes a lot of trouble to try and get it so. And I was lugging into saying that, well, the British yarn selling business is about getting there. So she looked at the things that go around it, you know, the pins, the scissors, the stitch gaugers, the needle sizers, and I bought all 3, which fitted into each other, the stitch gauger and needle sizers, and they were made in the UK with British wood, which was pretty cool. I mean, I know I could use a ruler, but this frame's really cool, and it's made in the UK. And I also bought my textile artists a needle set each, and they were really happy with them, because I just don't think you can have enough needles. Now, I did insist on this year at the group photo at the official Johnny Groats sign, and thank you, Angela, to the rabbit hairs behind me. I didn't notice until I was looking at the photos later in the day. This is when Naomi was looking out and saw dolphins, which were hunting off a bit of the coast, and said, I've never seen the dolphins up here, so this was really special. Some of them walked up Duncan's Behead, but I took the car, and do you know, I really struggled to get in the car park up there. I think there's about maybe 20-30 spaces with coach spaces, because there had been some killer whales spotted earlier that day heading north, and there was at least 100 people there to spot them, because that's just a really good place to see them, because you're quite high up and you've got a lot of sea on a point. They didn't actually appear, and neither did the puffins, even though my friend Mari had seen 2 earlier that day, and the people we were standing with said that they had seen 2 as well, but we weren't lucky enough to see them. We did see a lot of other birdies, and we had a really lovely walk, and I've got a great photograph of them sitting all lined up just in front of Duncansby Stacks. It's quite an epic picture. At night on the Saturday, we went to the nearby Seaview Hotel for our dinner, which was fine and tasty, and we ended the night with a very hard pub quiz. Richard printed it off of the internet, and I had no clue about most of them. Poor Nick and Tanya, who were in my team. Well, I think I was in their team just as jewellery, basically. I told him off for it, and he says, people were getting half of them right, so there mustn't be, it must be okay. You can't have an easy pub quiz. I says, but you had nothing about knitting. He says, I know nothing about knitting, I just printed it off the internet. So we were bickering. And then, sadly, on the Sunday morning, it was departure. I actually got hardly any knitting done, but I think they did. I really enjoyed seeing everyone again, and I think they have requested next year's. I was liking it in my own head this year to the awkward second album syndrome, but it was just grand. So pencil in your diary for the end of May next year, same place, same time, and I've asked for the costs already. And if you need to go back and see, oh, if anything, we need to go back and see if there's any blooming puffins after all. Me section, the knitting front. I've actually stalled on the Owligan cardigan by Kate Davis with the Lopey Chunky yarn in dark brown. I've got two sleeves and about 15 inches up the body, and it's got no shaping, so it's basically back and forward, and it's really nice, but it's starting to get heavy on the circulars. My wrists start to hurt a little bit. I went to the stash of Lopey yarn, and I've only got two more hanks in there, so I don't think I've got enough to finish it. So I think I'll have to order some more, or possibly just see if, when I'm in Iceland, if they have some, but it's a discontinued yarn, so not sure. However, I will finish it at some point. And plus, I was quite busy organising all the stuff for the retreat. So I've been knitting, and I was desperately trying to finish the Jonah Groats Slouchy Berry Hat by Marta Pulley, but I didn't get there. I've made a mistake on row 6 of the second pattern repeat, and I put it down because I thought, I don't think I've got that right. I got past it last night, but it's still not quite matching to where I thought it was in the pattern. It's not hard because I've already been through that pattern, because you go down 1 to 23 or something, and then you go back 2 till 23, and then you do 2 till 11. So I've already done 1 to 23 and I'm back on it, but I wasn't paying enough attention, I think. The crown is a lacy 8-sided star, and this took a lot of attention. I didn't actually make any mistakes in this. Then the side is a really, really lovely wave pattern, which is, I think, quite unusual because it's on its side. I'm using Easy Knit's Twinkle 4-ply in a really, really lovely royal blue, which has an Angelina sparkle going through it. The yarn's round and doesn't have much stretch to it, I don't think. Mum has used Cash Soft, which had a bit of cashmere in it and it was a pale grey. She wouldn't try it on. But I did, and the photograph is on Instagram. It looks a bit arty for me because I was taking a selfie and I was looking up at Nick, but I thought, that's quite cool. So Mum's has got way more definition with the colour and tone of the yarn than mine. I can't wait to finish mine and wear it at Jonah Groats because it's gone cold again. Plus, it's more often than not got sea breeze going through it, so you need a hat to keep your hair sorted. So mine's maybe more of a summer hat, I think. And what I forgot to say last episode is that this pattern is for sale on Ravelry. It isn't just exclusive to my retreat. So you can buy it via Ravelry for the very good price of £3.39, which is a medium caramel macchiato price. And it lasts way longer than the caramel macchiato. So on to the sewing front. Finally, I have fodder for the podcast, I can tell you. I bought some Caithness tartan from Macallan's Mains clothing shop because they do a range of kilts and you can buy the Caithness tartan from there. And I made the retreat attendees and myself a knitting needle roll which was specifically for circulars and sock needles. So it was a bit shorter than your average bear. Boo boo. But on the inside I matched it red and black with a yellow ribbon to tie around the old oak tree, and it came out beautifully. I tried a prototype out of random material upstairs that had paint all over and I'll not be able to use for anything else. So I wasted time when I was doing it by seeing how the fabric paints from IKEA got on. I can see they work out great. So this is still sitting upstairs, but it's all in the preparations. That's it, Richard always says. Time spent in reconnaissance is seldom wasted. I made 20 of these, which took quite a bit of time. Well, not two. I was just... When I got down there, it wasn't difficult sewing, it was quite good sewing. I had two strips of the tartan left, which I made name badges for everyone, and then I made five coasters, four of which I gave to Margaret as a present for giving lifts, and because she didn't get something else in the goodie bag, I'll come on to in a minute. I have one upstairs for my own cup, and I was left with a tiny bit of tartan, which was 2 centimetres by 6 centimetres, and I'm absolutely delighted out of 2 metres of tartan I've used it all up. Also, the goodie bag was a leather bookmark with an embossed dog or thistle. And I figure that you've all got more than one knitting book that needs a wee bookmark. These don't take too much time to make because you cut the leather down from a bag of, well, I've got a bag of off cuts I was given, and I've always worked to make myself a leather bag from them, but I like making the bookmarks too. They're a little bit easier. So I cut them down into bookmark shape, and then I get a rubber stamp and I use the clear embossing pad on it stamp the bookmark, then sprinkle with embossing powder and heat it with a heat gun and ta-da! If you've never used embossing powder on leather, then don't be scared of it. It's quite good fun. I then wanted to put something else into the bags, but my thing scene was jumping out of me. I wasn't sure if everybody could eat Caithness biscuits, and the puffins and the wee shop seemed a bit tacky. So I was moving things about. This isn't officially tidying, it was just moving things about. And I found I had some Christmas decoration baubles that I had bought to do something for the Christmas craft fair but never gotten round to them. And I thought, aha, I could put tartan in them. But there isn't quite enough tartan, and used it all up, and then it didn't really look right. So I'm standing there going, looking out the window. And on my window ledge of the craft room, I've got a couple of vases and a plastic water bottle from the Houses of Parliament that we were at when Daisy was one. So it's quite old. But I've been filling it up with wee small shells and wee stones and sea glass and pottery from the beaches around here. And the odd groaty buggy. And that's a cowrie shell most commonly found along the beach from John O'Groats. We went looking for them last year and I thought, this year they can all take one home with them. So I upended the shell jar and sorted out into each bauble a variety of shells and sea glasses and wee pebble. Because these baubles are plastic baubles and a sphere, and you can fit open them and put stuff in and then close them on each other. I then tied it with a yellow ribbon to match the old oak tree knitting roll, and ta-da! A very noisy bauble was made. And I quite like this because it kind of ties in with, even though we're out of season, the Christmas tree decoration that we always do on the podcast. And I thought I might buy some more baubles and make them for my own Christmas tree this year. I got them from Yellow Moon and it was quite a reasonable price for 12. But this meant that poor Margaret from Wick didn't get one because of the baubles. I had made 5 coasters with the Caithness tartan, as I said, so I kept one for my coffee cup and I gave her the 4. I'd wanted to make coasters for everyone, but as I said, 2 metres of fabric wasn't quite enough. And also it meant then she got something else, because I figured that she could really actually go and get all these shells herself anyway, because she lives in Wick. Bev has asked me to make up another knitting needle roll with a bluer tartan, which I was rummaging about yesterday. So if any of you would like a circular needle roll made by me, I can rattle some up, but if you tell me first. I've had 2 requests from a Campbell tartan, so I'm going to order it if any of you Campbells are wanting a project bag or a knitting needle roll. In the library corner, I finished reading George Orwell's 1984. Very sad, very deep, very insightful, very scary. And I'm seeing a lot of North Korea in it, and there, but for the grace of God, go us, to a point. We are, to an extent, only being told what they want us to hear, but whilst they can't control what I think yet, I think I'm okay. I don't know whether I'd recommend this book, but yeah, it's read. It's very sad. Very, very sad. Shopee section. Oh, hold on. Shopee section. Thank you very much for your purchases the past week. I very much appreciate it. The shop has been on hold and is back now, and it's slightly depleted. It has a Red McGregor, a Bruce, a McLean, a Farquharson, and 1 red handbag, and a notebook with hand-embroidered cover of Dinna Fash for you Outlander fans, and 1 sheep tea cosy. I will have to make some more. Oh, and also there's a Black Watch tartan bag in there as well. And for those of you who don't have a clan, this is one for you. Or you have a clan but your clan is not done yet, this one's for you too. Because the Black Watch is for everybody. Blah 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 section. Thank you very much for listening. I again appreciate the time for you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can access the Flickr photos from Louise J22 10 or via the Podbean site as www.tatemuscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the folders are down the right hand side there. The intro and outro, I think we're going to go for some good time because I had a great time at the weekend. Thank you so much for coming up, and thank you. Tummy's rumbling. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.